Welcome to the show that has it all. This is the Betfred Super League.
What a game!
Champions, challengers, newcomers, league's faithful. Hold on tight. This is the Betfred Super League 2024. There's nothing like league. Yeah.
Took a big chunk.
Bleeding. It's bleeding.
Oh no, it's bleeding. The thing just ripped my ear off. What do you think?
Hello, folks. It's that time of the week again. Welcome along to this, the latest edition of Eddie and Steve-O, the podcast, here with the blessing and support of our friends at Betfred. Well, we're on the starting blocks for one of the biggest weekends of any season, the eagerly awaited Easter programme, with some blockbuster games planned, particularly on Good Friday and a week after the Challenge Cup took centre stage. 5 weeks of Betfred Super League action, great crowds everywhere. Then along comes the cup, and the attendances take a nosedive. The top one, 7,000 for Leeds against St Helens. No shocks on the field, but that's a real shock to me. Where have all the fans gone? Because there was very little on TV to keep them away.
Well, Eddie, the one major factor is that when it comes to Challenge Cup and the cup ties, you can't use your season ticket. That means when it comes to a Challenge Cup draw and a Challenge Cup game, you've got to put your hand in your pocket and pay again. And listen, I think we all realise after the pandemic that, you know, things have gone up, things change, and you're going to have to look and have a good look at your wallet to see if you can afford to go to the games.
Well, I appreciate that, but 7,000 Leeds Saints, Wigan only had 5,700 for Sheffield. 4,002 Batley Castleford. No attendance published at Hull KR and Salford, the same. Has the Challenge Cup lost its magic with the fans?
No, I don't think it's lost it. Look, maybe we've got to do better things. I know that they do special offers, etc. and so forth, but maybe they've got to be better special offers to attract them to the crowd. Anything that you could just use a little bit of marketing nous to ensure that we get people through the gate. It's not easy because things are so expensive these days.
Well, they are. There are only two games on telly. Leeds Saints on the BBC iPlayer. Leeds Featherstone on Betfred's own Sportsman channel. The quarterfinal draw was made on BBC Radio 5 Live at 8:45 on Monday night. Why not put it on regional television in the north of England? I can't understand where the BBC is coming from with this. It's their competition, after all.
Well, to me, they've always sort of looked upon our game as a second-grade sport. I really do mean that. I mean, I can remember when I was playing, that's how long ago it was, that the BBC, they never went to the game until the second half. You didn't get the full game. So I've always said that until Sky came along, that our game had been treated badly in regards to coverage on television. But I reckon, and not just because you and I work for the company, I reckon that we've kept the game afloat and made people interested into it. And, you know, that's what the governing body wants now. They've got IMG.
Somebody has said to me, IMG maybe are trying to reinvent the wheel. It's hard to disagree with that view, isn't it?
It's all a matter of opinion. But the end of the day, and I know I keep saying it, it's all down to one factor. How much are we getting for our game from the radio, from the television? Because in Australia, it's multi-millions.
Let's look at the games that we did see again in the Challenge Cup. Leeds against the St Helens Flyers. Disappointing, said Rowan Smith, the Leeds coach. Well, Rowan, you know, tell that to the Leeds fans. Leeds have got an awful recent record in the Challenge Cup, knocked out at this stage for the last 4 years now. So as soon as they're in, they're out.
Yeah, and maybe that's another reason why, you know, there was only 7,000 for that game. That's another problem we've got to come across. Maybe the fans have said, oh, St. Helens, you know, we may as well just stay at home. It happens a lot. It's something that we can't avoid.
Yeah, it was very odd. I must admit, very odd. Lewis Todd was out with an injury. Moses Mbai did a great job, though, as his deputy. Tremendous kicking game in the wet. I have to ask the question, though, Steve-O. Where now for the Leeds Rhinos? They've only got one thing to go. Well, two things. League Leaders Shield and the grand final at Old Trafford. Where now for them?
I think that at that stage, Eddie, and I think that Rowan Smith realises that, which they've been trying to do for maybe the last 5-6 years, is to build on their junior development. And maybe we don't have the quality coming through at junior level, which won't be surprising to a lot of people who know what the amateur game is all about.
Hulkingston Rovers 40, Salford 0. I said that the Challenge Cup went according to plan. All 8 Super League clubs are through. No shocks, really. But blimey, what a shock this was. You know, an emotional tribute to Phil Lowe before the game. He'd have been delighted with Rovers' 7 tries, wouldn't he?
Oh, would he ever? I mean, it was a great tribute to the great man, great player. And as you say, 7 tries. And that was without, Mikey Lewis, I don't think he played. Tyron May, they had to operate in the halves. Or what, with Lytton? You've got to say something about Paul Rowley. He said, a lot of emotion. He said, but we just couldn't gain control. With a scoreline of 40-0, it's spot on. Couldn't gain any control.
None at all. A first-class performance, though, from Hulkingston Rovers, and heading into the Good Friday derby against Hull in full swing. And talking of Hull, Huddersfield 50, Hull 6, the Black and Whites hammered for the second week in a row. They've shipped in 50 plus points against Lee the previous week. They've had one win all season so far, and that against London in the last 2 minutes the other week. Jake Connor and Adam Swift haunted their former club, Swift with 4 tries. That really must have rubbed salt into the wound, mustn't it?
Well, yes. And not just a little bit of salt and pepper, but a full bag of it. It's always difficult to try to get itself onto the winning streak. And I'm sure that the Black and Whites and London Broncos will be looking forward to their next clash. It should be a good crowd because, the poor old Broncos, they don't look as though they can get anywhere near the opposition at the moment. And as you say, they lost in the final minutes against the Black and Whites just previously. And both those sides will be looking forward to say, we don't want to be bottom of the list.
Definitely not. I mean, London will get somebody before the end of the season. There's no question about that. But this whole side, you know, it makes this derby at Hulkingston Rovers huge for the Black and Whites and their coach, Tony Smith. He says he's got the confidence of Chairman Adam Pearson. Steve-O, I fear when I hear that.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we heard that? And then within hours, not weeks or days, that the coach has been sacked. Adam Pearson made it quite clear that when he brought Tony Smith to the club, he wanted to change the culture. So there was quite a lot of problems, not just on the field of play, but off the field of play. And to be fair, Tony Smith has got the ability to be able to do that. I mean, you look at his background. It was so successful at Leeds. I mean, Warrington, I think it was 3 cup finals, Challenge Cup finals that he won. So, look, he always talks long term. And when you get beaten 50 points to 6, that's all you got left to talk about.
It is. We're in a results-based industry, Steve-O. 2024 has been a nightmare for Hull so far. Is this, for Hull, and Tony Smith in particular, a must-win game on Good Friday?
Yes. We had the same situation down here in Australia. The West Tigers were being pulverized. But amazingly, they played out of their skin and they won their first game. So, look, it's all about the possibility. But do you have the ability with the players that you've got? That's always difficult.
You mentioned, first win of the season down under. First win for Lee not long ago, and they began the defence of their trophy successfully. But Featherstone Rovers pushed them all the way. It was 4-4 at one stage, and then there were only 4 points adrift at the start of the second half. But Lee got off to the best possible start in the defence of the Challenge Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, and look, it was always going to be a slippery slope to overcome. Featherstone, they went there, nothing to lose. Look, they've got a great fan base. I feel that Adrian Lamb will have been frustrated by some of the tactics that they got down to working and just saying, look, let's get back to basics, which they did. And they finished up winning 26-14, which it doesn't matter if it's 1 point or 100 points. The most important factor is that they're still in that trophy and they can still win it. They've still got the ability to do it.
And the important thing from their point of view is that they've begun the defence with a win. They are through to the quarterfinals. Easy wins as expected for Warrington, 42-0 over London. They'd beaten them in London by an even bigger score the previous week. And for Catalan at Halifax by 40 points to 4. But Batley 14, Castleford 28. Now, this potentially was a slippery old banana skin for Castleford. They'll be mighty relieved this has got behind them.
You know as well as I do, Eddie, the pitch at Mount Pleasant is far from what it's called. It has a great run right down into the corner. And Batley would have utilised that as much as they can. Even poor kickers can make sure that the ball goes down there 40, 50 metres down into that corner. So anyone who plays at Batley, depending on whether you win the toss or whatever, because if you get off to a flying start, sometimes it's difficult for a team to get back into it.
That's true. And Batley did a bit of a job on them in the first half. They led 14-10 in the 39th minute. Innes Senior's try levelled it up, 14-all at the break. I think Paul McShane's return to action was the key for Castleford, a try and a couple of conversions. Hopefully, the start of better things to come.
Yeah, look, Paul McShane is a bit of a maestro. He can turn everything around, and he's that type of player. And is one of those players that every coach wants onto the field of play. Simple as that. Because he knows his ability, he knows what he can produce, but he has this ability to lift his fellow teammates. That's so important in sport.
It is. Wigan 44, Sheffield 18. No repeat of the shock of 1998. But hey, Steve, the Eagles made Wigan scrap all the way, didn't they? They led 12-10 at one stage, and a Harry Smith penalty spurred the Wigan blushes, going in all square at half time. So well done, Sheffield. Well done, Batley. Well done, Featherstone, from the lower reaches.
Yeah, and look, Sheffield would have said, right, oh, there'll be a big crowd at Wigan, and they probably would finish up with more money on that game than what they would do the entire season. So that's another factor of why it's important that this Challenge Cup, as the lower divisions, give them the opportunity.
It's turning into another Super League competition, though, isn't it? There's all eight of the quarterfinalists from the Super League. The days of the shocks seem to be, long gone. It seems to be part of the history, but not going to happen very often these days.
Well, you can say that. And yes, I think that 99.9% you'll say, well, the Super League clubs should and they normally do win these type of games. But let's not forget last Challenge Cup semi-finals. Who would have thought that OKR and Lee would have made it to Wembley? And that is the magic, Eddie, of the Challenge Cup. For 80 minutes, you can upset I mean, it happened with the remember Sheffield and Wigan. Who would have thought that? I mean, Wigan were that pumped out with so many internationals. They were thinking, oh, it'll be a 40-50 point win, and they lost. It can happen.
It can, and this time Matthew Peach celebrated his 7-year contract with the club. By the way, Jake Wardle, Steve, we're talking about long-term development here at Wigan. Jake Wardle has signed a 5-year deal to carry on playing with the Wigan Warriors. So, you know, they are making sure that their future as well as their present is in good hands.
And when you look at it, with so, 7-year contracts, 5-year contracts, it's unheard of. And that only points to one thing, is that Wigan are not only a powerhouse on the field of play, but they're becoming a powerhouse off the field of play. The new owners, obviously, are pumping in far more money than what they've had in the past. It's a big risk to sign a coach for 7 years, but not just one coach, but 3 coaches.
Yes.
You've got to have a little bit of coin behind you to be able to do things like that. And everybody who wants to play rugby league, they'd say, wow, I don't want a 1-year contract at so-and-so. If I play well enough and Wigan are interested, maybe I'll get a 5-year contract or a 7-year contract. Because to me, if there's a player on the market, who would you pick to say will be the favourites to pick them up? And it starts with a W, and it's Wigan. But there again, it could be Warrington.
Well, anyway, look, the draw for the quarterfinals has thrown up some intriguing matches. St Helens against the aforementioned Warrington. Hull Kingston Rovers against Lee, a repeat of last year's Challenge Cup final, as you say. Catalan Dragons get a home tie against Huddersfield, and Castleford will now take on the Wigan Warriors. Saints Warrington, Steve-O, pick of the round, repeat of the 2019 final. Warrington won on that occasion. They brought the cup home. That's going to be a mouth-watering contest, isn't it? Saints against Warrington.
Well, I'm not a gambling man, Eddie, so I'm going to keep my couple of shilling in my pocket, because anything can happen. We just briefly touched on the fact, look at last year's semi-finals. Who would have thought that would have played out that way? As I say, I wouldn't even offer a penny to have a bet on any semi-final. So it's, take a pick. Put your hand in the bag and see what team you come out with.
Yeah, that's right. It's the toss of the coin, there's no doubt
there.
Hull KR against Lee. Rovers at home, importantly. And they'd be looking for revenge for what happened to them at Wembley last year. You know, the golden point drop goal from Lachlan Lamb. Hull KR will be desperate to get one over them, won't they?
They'll want to make sure that they get enough points on the board. And I think they're capable. It's going to be a tough game. But they're all tough games when it gets to that situation. You know, you look through the past so many times. How on earth did that happen? The pressure, the fans are all saying, oh, we've got to beat so-and-so. They're not as good as us. Well, they may not be in the long run. But when it comes to a one-off and the Challenge Cup semi-final, anything can happen.
Catalan against Huddersfield. Huddersfield here have the poison chalice, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that's going to be very difficult. But there again, you know, you sort of look of what's happened. And when you score 50 points against Hull the last weekend, the players will be pretty buoyed by it all and say, look, we're capable of doing that. You know, to score 50 points is one thing. Okay, a lot of people will say, well, you know, the black and whites aren't playing all that well. But you still got to get over that try line. And 50 points is pretty good. Now, the funny thing with Hull is that I've looked at the stats and they're averaging and conceding 5.6 tries per game. So, you know, was it that easy? We'll have to wait and see.
We will. Castleford against Wigan. I've just had my memory jogged. Do you remember years and years ago, the John Player Trophy final. Castleford went into that match at Headingley, no hopers, and they turned Wigan over. They'll go into this Challenge Cup quarter final as no hopers. Can they turn Wigan over this time?
Well, they can do if they play exceptionally well. If they get their defence sorted out, which has been a bit of a shambles, anything can happen. That's the beauty of the Challenge Cup. It's just 80 minutes. It can go either way. Whoever takes command in the first 20 minutes rarely loses. Rarely loses when you get to such a point where you're in control. So it's so important in the first 10, 15 minutes. And you know what the crowds are like at Castleford.
Mm.
And hopefully that will be a full house. Should be.
Well, keep our fingers crossed for that. You know, when you think about it, Steve, the Challenge Cup, Super League clubs come in with three matches to go. They have three wins and they're at Wembley. What an amazing, amazing reward for just three games and three wins on the bounce. Incredible, really.
Yeah, but that's how it has been. The one thing, I'm just warning the Warrington fans not to get too excited about it, because for so many years, I mean, they won it, what, three times out of four or five appearances at Wembley? So, look, they've got the pedigree, and boy, what a great start that would be for Sam Burgess.
Very much so. It would be, wouldn't it? I mean, they're just, as I say, they're now just two games away from Wembley, all of these teams. Let's go through them, Steve. I want your predictions, so as people can can have heart attacks between now and the quarterfinals on the 13th, 14th April. Saints Warrington, who wins?
Do you know, I'm going to say it'll go to extra time.
Golden point.
Yeah.
Okay. They still haven't said who's going to win it.
Warrington.
Okay. Hull KR Lee, repeat or revenge?
Hull KR.
Dragons and the Giants?
Dragons.
And Cass Wigan.
Wigan.
You heard it here first, folks. There we are. That's the last four in the Challenge Cup if Steve-O was the sponsor. Okay. Now we come to the Easter programme. Rivals round this weekend. Not as hectic as in our day behind the mic, Steve-O. Just one game now over the bank holiday weekend. The coaches have got their wish, haven't they? Game on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and another one on a Monday or a Tuesday.
Well, that's common sense.
You think?
Sadly.
You think so?
Yes.
Here's a chance for massive crowds over the two games over the holiday. Massive crowds would be there.
Listen, there are many times in the past whereby you've lost star players that could perhaps lose you an opportunity to either go to Wembley or to actually get to the grand final. It's not how you start, Eddie, it's how you finish. And we've got to start looking at player welfare a little bit more as well. And I'm glad that they've done that. I mean, look, I've already said that in round four, 46 players down under were injured. And of that 46, nearly all of them won't just miss one game. It could be two, could be three. In some occasions, it could be five or six. So I think the Super League have done the right thing and not test our players. Look, it's played at such an amazing speed these days. People perhaps don't seem to realise, you know, that in the good old olden days, sometimes it, you know, you might have two players in a tackle. These days, there's three and four. And they're not just coming down to rub a bit of mud into their face. They're there to hurt the opposition. And it's no surprise that you get so many players injured, because it's a tough game. It's a hard game, and it's played at immense speed.
Well, Saints and Wigan will be exactly that. This match has been sold out for weeks now, a full house. We've got great memories of this game, haven't we, from the past. 20 years ago this Good Friday, we witnessed that thrilling 21-all draw between Saints and Wigan at the old Knowsley Road. Andy Farrell, Sean Long with the drop goals, finished off the scoring. But it was remembered maybe more for the all-in 26-man brawl in the second half. Andy Farrell and Paul Sculthorpe really got stuck in, didn't they?
Yeah, I think if you look at when it explodes in the modern game, there's a lot of pushing, a lot of shoving, a lot of pulling, all this and the other. On that particular game, Farrell and Sculthorpe didn't miss. There was very few punches that didn't hit the target. The crowd loved it. I'm not so sure I did, because the game was so exciting. And as you say, it will always be remembered for a 26-man brawl. And we don't really need that. But I know a lot of people said, oh, it was great to watch. And I have to agree with them.
Well, it was. It was all right for us sitting in the stands. There's no doubt about that. Do you mourn the fact that a punch cannot be thrown these days? If you throw a punch now, you're sent off.
Yeah, and so it should be. I meet up with a lot of ex-players and they all say, oh, you know, it's too soft and all that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, no, it's not too soft. Look, this is powerhouse. This is, you know, you've got to be super fit, mainly due to the fact that you can take the impact that you're going through. There's no softish playing these days. I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, I'd have cuffed him, I'd have given him a right-hander and this, that and the other, this, that and the other. Listen, they get hurt in different ways. You know, second, third man coming into your ribs. And, you know, that's why I'm pleased that they've banned the drop tackle. Because that was dangerous. You know, people who are having their legs broken, etc. and so forth. The welfare of the players now should be looked after. And obviously they're doing that over the Easter weekend. I agree with that. But people have to recognise this game is so fast. It's so strong. But boy, it's great to watch.
It is. And Hull Kingston Rovers against Hull kicks off Good Friday at Craven Park. Now, look, we've already alluded to the fact this is a must-win game for the Black and Whites, isn't it?
Yeah. And I'm just hopeful that they pick the best referee. It needs a strong referee, this, because I'm sure that Tony Smith realises that perhaps quality, skill, probably can't match the Red and Whites. But maybe they can match them in toughness. I reckon the opening 10 minutes, 15 minutes, don't miss it. It's going to be sensational.
It's going to be brilliant. A lot of people will have picked up what you've just said. Let's make sure we have the best referee in charge. You've got to have the best referee in charge of Saints Wigan as well. The question that a lot of fans will ask is, have we got enough top quality referees to take charge of matches like this?
No.
So where do they go then? What do they do?
They've got to work harder to bring in new talent. And I'm sure that they're doing that. Look, I'm not criticising the referees of now, but sometimes I get the impression that since we had the let's go upstairs situation,
that the video
a few referees are reluctant to make a decision.
Other games over the weekend, Cass against Leeds, Warrington Catalan, a repeat of the opening weekend in south of France when the Dragons inflicted Warrington's only defeat of the season so far. Salford Lee, they're all on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. London against Huddersfield, all alone on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Steve-O, all the games are live on Sky Sports, but 3 o'clock on Sunday, you know, it's really big and special. But two mighty clashes in the Premier League, also both live on Sky. Liverpool, Brighton, Man City against Arsenal. It's a huge task for our pals on Super League, on Sky, to tempt the viewers away from those two on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, it's difficult. And Huddersfield will be feeling pretty confident because they realise that London's defence has not been all that good. But you just never, ever know. We keep saying it all the way through. You know, there's you have your favourites, but who knows?
Well, that's the great thing about the game in 2024. You turn up at the stadium these days and there's jeopardy. You don't know who's going to win. It's up in the air. You know, who could pick a winner between Saints and Warrington? Who could pick a winner between Hull and Hull Kingston Rovers? Who could pick a winner between Salford and Lee? The list goes on. But anyway, you know, let's keep our fingers crossed. It's a fantastic Easter weekend. It's just what the game needs. Remember, we mentioned last week about this proposed deal for the championship from Premier Sports, providing they get the rights back from Viaplay. The nuts and bolts of it discussed at a meeting this last week of the clubs. It seems not too popular. The vote, it wasn't binding, by the way, but it was 7-6 against and one abstention. Whitehaven weren't there, so they didn't get a vote. So now it's down to the RFL to make a decision. Which way are they going to jump, do you think?
Well, it depends how much money is on offer. I know that they're going to stump up a little bit more over the next 3 years. It's around about 50 grand, isn't it, on the first year?
First year, 50. Yeah, that's right. I mean, Premier have got to stump up over £300,000 for the production costs. And those rights, that rights revenue will increase over the next 3 years, as you say, to about £100,000. But, Steve, well, that's chicken feed. That really is chicken feed.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's easy for us to comment and point the finger, but I'm glad that they've turned it down. Okay, they're going to have to pay £300,000 in production costs. This is our game of rugby league. It's what I call the greatest game of all. And yet, we just seem to be pushed to one side. Do you say no and not get anything? Or do you hang about for the television, for Premier to then say, oh, well, we won't be bothered doing any of your game. You know, it's your fault. You know, it's a catch-22 situation. But sometimes you got to show a little bit of strength.
Well, the subscription revenue as well from the deal will remain with Premier Sports until the costs are covered. And then it's reported, I can't believe this either, it'll be divvied up 80-20, 80% to Premier, 20% to the clubs. It's not a lot of money, and concerns were apparently also raised about the attendances at these games that will be on TV because of the IMG grading system, heavily in favour of increasing attendances, and that is seen as a major stumbling block too. I can understand, if the money is so small, why the clubs are a little bit against it.
Well, it's a little bit like, well, I'm going to give you something in your left hand, and then I'm going to take it away with my right hand. So, yeah, we'll do the deal, and people will watch it on TV and not turn up. So what are we left with? Nothing.
Really difficult times. We started talking about crowds at the Challenge Cup last weekend. Here we are talking about possible crowds for the Championship moving forward. But anyway, tell me, is Easter as big down there in Australia as it is up here? Are you looking forward to getting a whole shed load of Easter eggs on Sunday morning?
Well, when I was a kid, Mum and Dad couldn't afford an Easter egg. So, you know. I'm losing a tear now. Listen.
I've got one final question for you. Are you a milk chocolate man or are you a dark chocolate man?
Always dark.
Are you?
Yep.
They tell me up here that everybody loves milk chocolate, but how did they put it this morning on the television? They say that the people with money like dark chocolate. So now we know. Now we know Steve-O is a man with money. There you go.
Listen, it's got nothing to do with money. Both the milk egg and the dark chocolate egg are the same price. It's just that I don't like milk chocolate. Easter eggs. I like them dark.
Oh, I can't believe
also,
it. Listen,
I like the, come on. Also, I like the ones that have got another couple of eggs inside.
Eggs in the middle. All right, okay.
But all they're right. Expensive. Well, they're expensive, Eddie. You wouldn't know that.
No, you're right. Mine. We got ours way in advance of Easter and made a fortune. Okay, look, great to talk to you.
Before you go, Eddie, I have a confession to make. My granddaughter will be coming for Easter, and I've hidden the Easter eggs. I can't remember where I put them.
It'll be a wonderful Easter egg hunt in your household. I can see it coming. Good on you. I hope you find them, and we'll talk to you same time next week. Take it easy. And by the way, happy Easter, old boy.
Hope you enjoy your milk egg.